So grateful for the word that continues to anchor us into just Jesus, your finished work, and that alone. We recognize this incredible gift of grace, but we want to, Father, just continue in the same way that we started. We want to be known as your children. We want to be known as those who are of faith. And so, through your Spirit now, once again, just illuminate our mind, illuminate our heart. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us, your church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, if you would, please open your Bibles to the New Testament book of Galatians. We are in chapter 3 still, but we've already cruised down to verse 7. It's only taken us a couple months to get there. But as we find ourselves here in Galatians 3:7, just understand the text that we're in. It says, "Now, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." So we're looking at the sons of Abraham here this evening, and I want you to remember now what's been happening. Paul has, as he began this epistle, began to show his authority, both as an apostle and the authority that he has, and that authority that was of the gospel, that both of those he received from God and not from man. And as he's been sharing this gospel with the churches in Galatia, there had been those called the legalizers, the Judaizers, and they have been coming and disrupting. What was happening was this. The issues of the Judaizers and the legalists, basically it was this, faith versus works. And so they were declaring, the legalists were declaring that the salvation comes through keeping the law of Moses, keeping the circumcision, that they would have to literally become almost, you know, Jews in this sense, where they kept the laws and kept the circumcision and all those things. Yet the gospel, Paul has been saying, declared simply that what? We are justified by faith and only by faith. And so what's happening is, Paul is now using this incredible point where he's now using Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, whom the legalists had been looking towards. They're saying, well, you know, Abraham gave us the circumcision. This is what we need to do in order to be saved. And what Paul is going to do is this. He's going to take a closer look at Abraham. What he's going to do is he's going to give them the biblical and scriptural understanding of the life of Abraham, where we begin to look at on Sunday. And so keep in mind that as we're going through this, Paul has made these declarations. There in verse 2, he said, how we began, this only I want to learn from you, did you receive the spirits by works, by the law, or by the hearing of faith? So how did you begin your faith? Then how do you continue your faith in verse 3? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect from the flesh? And so we see that he's talking about, you know, you begin through faith, you continue through faith, you don't change that. And then in verse 6, he made that statement, that incredible word that we looked at on Sunday, just as Abraham believed God and it, that belief was accounted to him for righteousness. We understood, as we looked at Sunday, there were basically the three anchors of biblical belief. We talked about the knowledge. You have to know the word. There has to be an agreement with the word. And then there has to be a reliance, an act of trust towards that word. Where we looked at, you know, demons can believe, but they're not going to go to heaven. They perish. And so keep in mind that those are the things where we have to believe. And it's that knowledge of the word, agreement with the word, and then this act of trust in that word is what we do. So, as we've been seeing here, as these legalists had looked to Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, what's going to happen is this. Paul gives them now a closer look. And as he gives them a closer look, he began in verse 6 to quote from Genesis 15. We looked at that timeline about Abraham. And within that timeline, that we realized that this was at least 13 years before circumcision was given. And so when he believes God, he believed God for what? A child. That God said, I'm going to give you a child. And of course, we understood he was going to give him a descendant back in chapter 12. He reiterated, I'm going to give you a child back in chapter 15. He does it, you know, back in 17, he actually gives them that child. And so we begin to see how the declaration, I'm going to do this, and Abraham in chapter 15 believes. He believes for that child. And that belief was accounted to him for righteousness. And so keep in mind that as Paul has been giving this biblical timeline of Abraham's justification, he uses now this event in Abraham's life to reveal the true sons. And that's what he does here. After he says Abraham believed, if you look at chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, let me just turn there so that you can gravitate to what I'm declaring. It says this in verse 5, he brought him outside and said, "Now look towards heaven, count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said, "So shall your descendants be." You're going to have children, and they're going to be, in a sense, the number of the stars. You won't be able to count them. And then verse 6, he believed the Lord, and he, that is the Lord, accounted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. So he believed in the promise. And so what Paul is doing is this. As Abraham's life would say, Abraham stood on this promise. He didn't do any works. He stood on a promise. That promise was accounted to him for righteousness. And so as Paul is giving this timeline, he uses this event as far as who are the true sons. And so keep in mind, it's those who trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for salvation, who come by faith. Exactly as Abraham believed, the true sons come through belief. And so keep in mind that regardless of, you know, your ethnicity, regardless of your physical stature, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your adherence to the law, the customs of Moses, I don't care who you are, how old, how young, where you've come from, how good you've been, how bad you've been, it makes no difference, because once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? Now you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. And so those are the ones who are the true sons of Abraham. The others, simply descendants. And what we get to do tonight is we get to actually look at that understanding, because Paul is defining through Scripture and the biblical definition what is a child of Abraham versus the common thought of Paul's day and during Christ, that they thought if you're a physical descendant of Abraham, you're a child. And of course, we see that there in the book of Genesis, it challenges that theory. There with Jesus, he challenges that theory. And so also with Paul, he challenges that theory. And so keep in mind, theory of a man, God makes declarations. God is true. Theories are not. And so no matter what they come up with, the Scripture's now declaring what is true and what is not. So remember, we were looking at this one key verse in the book of Genesis. And I want to kind of remind us of just what it is that we've been looking at. And so in Genesis 22, verse 17. We looked at this on Sunday, but I wanted to kind of really briefly take a couple minutes to go through this here this evening. In Genesis 22, 17, he says, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies." So he notes two things. He notes stars in the heaven. He notes sand on the seashore. The stars are basically celestial. They're heavenly. They're spiritual. The sand on the seashore is earthly. We would call it carnal. So you have two types of offspring that come from Abraham. You have the spiritual, the children, and then you have the carnal, the descendants. One are spiritual, one are not. Jesus himself made this declaration. Remember, we were looking at John chapter 8, two verses that I do want you to recognize what's going on here. In John chapter 8, in verse 37, Jesus makes this declaration to the Pharisees, these legalists. He says this in John 8, 37, "I know you are Abraham's descendants," very clearly. "You are, through his blood, you are a descendant of Abraham, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." And then in verse 39, he would say this. Jesus answered, "Abraham," they said, "Abraham is our father." And he said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Now, what was the work of Abraham? Abraham believed, and that belief was accounted to him for righteousness. And so the Lord would literally say, listen, You have to understand, before Abraham was, I am, and recognize who Abraham and I are together. And so he put his faith in me. We understand this. So I want you to recognize as we come through this how Abraham just began his journey. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, we've already looked at that so far this evening, and we saw initially that this is where he believes the Lord. Now, he believes the Lord for children, and that belief was accounted to him for righteousness. And understand that his true spiritual children do not just have his blood as descendants do. Do you understand? That they do the works of Abraham. So just because you're a descendant does not mean that you're a son. A son is spiritual. When God says it's a son, when God says it's a child, it means it's a spiritual thing. When he says you're a descendant, well, then you're simply of the blood. So you can be of the same, but not spiritually be the same. And so this is why God had made this very clear distinction between those who are descendants and those who are children, those who were of Abraham's descendants that were of the sand, and his children that were there of the stars of heaven. And so God's promise to Abraham was very simply this: your descendants, those that are going to be your children, are going to be as the stars, the spiritual, those. And so keep in mind that as we go through this, I want you to understand that God's promise to Abraham was based on his belief, was based on faith, not his circumcision, not his works. That doesn't come into a couple more chapters. And so in the same way as, you know, Abraham believing in God's promise of salvation, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, this is what's available to anyone in the world. Anyone, regardless of who you've been, who you are, it doesn't make a difference that God says simply this: if you believe, if you have that heart to believe, remember what he said in Galatians 2:16, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's anyone and everyone who chooses to believe, this is that blessing. In Galatians 3, verse 28, we'll get there in a little while, but we're not there yet. Let me just read it to you. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You understand that God is going to take anyone in the world, regardless of your race, regardless of your nationality, regardless of what religion you've practiced, all of these things to God now mean nothing. Because you are now a child, you're a son. And there's this beautiful passage where we look to this and we always kind of quote this: there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. But what I want to do is this: I want to read to you the verse before it and the verse after it. I want you to focus on just what's happening here in this verse. In verse 26 of Galatians 3, he says this: for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You understand? You're a son. Now, what I love is this: not only are you a son of Abraham, because in our text it said what? Now, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Once you're a son of Abraham, guess what? You're a son of God. He takes that same understanding. And so we look to this and we see that as many as you, he says this, as many of you who were baptized, verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And in verse 29, he says this: and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And now he makes this statement. He said, listen, if you are of faith, you're a son in Christ. You're a son of God. Now, if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. So keep in mind that we'll be looking at just a moment where Abraham's seed is what? It's that of faith. And so we're going to see the difference as we look to who are the sons and who are not the sons. I want to share with you a passage in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 3, two verses to focus on, verse 21 and verse 22, makes this declaration. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. And this is where we come to say, listen, the Jews thought that the sons of Abraham were only those of Jewish descent. In other words, only those who've come through the lineage of Abraham. And so they look to themselves and they look to saying, if we are that of Abraham, we'll keep in mind, if that's all you need, then all through Ishmael, the Muslims, they're all then what? They're all children of Abraham as well, but yet there's this great division between them. So you have to understand that what they're trying to think is there's something wrong with their understanding. But whoever in the world, whatever nationality, whatever race, whatever religion, when you give that up and you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're now this new creation, and God just brings us all into one amazing family. There's a unity, there's a building up, and not a division. And so when we look to the true sons, and I want us to go back to the book of Galatians, and I want to just focus on a couple of verses, because I really want you to see here who are the true sons. What happens is this. Let's begin by reading Galatians chapter 4. I want to start reading in verse 21. I want to go all the way down to verse 26, jump over to verse 30 and 31. But in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, he says this. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you hear the law? Now he's about to give this incredible dissertation on who is this biblical son of Abraham and who is not a son of Abraham. So he says in verse 2, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem, verse 26, above is free, which is the mother of us all. And now, jump over to verses 30 and 31. It says this, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Again, we're children. We're children of the free. So understand what's happening is, notice that here Paul does not mention the sons by name. He doesn't say Ishmael, he doesn't say Isaac. He doesn't say the son's name. What he does is this, although he doesn't mention the name, he mentions their source. Follow me now. Not their names, he mentions their source. One comes through the slave woman. One comes through the bondwoman. One comes through the flesh. Do you understand? The source is in bondage. The source is the flesh. The other source is what? Free. The other comes through the promise. So one is a work of the flesh. One is a work of the promise. And so understand, what we see this is what source do you have access to God? Is it the source of what? Do you come through faith? Do you come through the promise? Do you come through belief? So you're a son if you have the proper source. If you don't have the proper source, guess what? God doesn't even recognize you as a son. You might be a descendant, but he doesn't recognize you as a son. Remember what he says in Genesis chapter 2, where he says, what? Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. He doesn't even recognize Ishmael. He's a descendant. He's going to have what he has. But you have to understand that what we begin to see is this. It is about our source makes us sons and daughters. Our source makes us children. If you don't have the right source, you may be a descendant. You may say, well, I came through this. But it doesn't count with God. Why? Because the source of Abraham was what? Faith. That was his source. He believed and it was accounted him for righteous. He believed in the child. The child comes through faith. The child was a child of promise. And so it's amazing that what Paul does in referring to these two sons, it answers in this beautiful way the question there in verse 7, where it says, "Know, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons." Do you understand? Because there were two sons, yet one was not recognized. One was not looked at as by saying, yes, you are a son. We talked about this, and I want to read it directly to you. If you would, go to the book of Genesis, slide over to chapter 22, and then read with me as I go through verse 2. He says this, "Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So keep in mind that you're about to give up the son of the promise. You're about to give up the son that you've waited for. And I don't even count Ishmael. And so I want you to take him there and I want you to offer him there to me. Now remember the journey that led up to this point. Back in chapter 15, we saw there in verse 5 and 6, he sees the stars of the heaven. He says, "So shall your descendants be." He believes the Lord. And the verse 6, "And the Lord accounts that to him for righteousness." Then we jump into chapter 16. And in Genesis 16, what happens is this. In verse 1, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, 'See, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her.' And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai, and then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan." So at this point, we begin to see that he was 75 when he was called. He's now 85. And so at this point, we see here, this is where she is now going to say, "Okay, I'm giving you this, my maid." Now understand, the maid came from what? From Egypt. Egypt is a what? A type of the flesh. And so she comes now from the flesh. She gives they have this mindset of the flesh. If God's not doing it, we know how to fix it. And so Sarai has this great idea. "Take my maid. You can have a child through her." And so we begin to see verse 4. "He went into Hagar. She conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes." So all of a sudden, that when she has this blessing, she now looks down on Sarai. "I have this child, you don't." Well, verse 5, "Sarai said to Abram, 'My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me.'" And so we begin to see that this is where all that begin to happen. And so from that point, now we jump over to chapter 17. And in chapter 17, this amazing thing begins to happen is that God once again says, "Listen, I am going to give you a child of promise." And so in Genesis chapter 17, beginning in verse 15, God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, You shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be your name. I will bless her, and I will also give you a son by her, and then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations, kings, and peoples shall be from her. So, we see here this amazing thing that God has promised that here, you're going to have a child, and you're going to have this child through Sarah. It's going to be a child of promise. Well, verse 17, Abraham falls on his face. He laughed. He said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And so we see here that he says, no, I'm content. I'm very content with this child of the flesh. I'm very content with Ishmael. Let Ishmael be the child. Let him live before you. Verse 19, God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I've blessed him, and I'll make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly, and he shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant, verse 21, I will establish with Isaac. So you understand, there's a child that's born whom God doesn't recognize as a child of the covenant. There's another child who's about to be born that God recognizes that child as a child of the covenant. Now, at this point, we see here, when we get to chapter 21, we see that there is this birth of the child of promise. And in chapter 21, it begins this, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah had conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Verse 6, Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. So she also said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse children? Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. So Isaac is now a young child. And as he's a young child, notice what happens in verse 9. There's a battle that begins to take place, a spiritual battle that begins to happen. Verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. In other words, now there's a mocking of the child of promise. The child of the flesh is not in agreement with what God has said, my covenant, my promise is going to be through Isaac. So he begins to mock. He begins to, in a sense, come. And as it talks about here in the text, he begins, and just in a crazy way, scoffing. Now, some texts will say he's laughing. Now, this is amazing because Isaac's name means what? Laughter. But it's a good laughter. This is a mocking. This is taking something that God wants for good, and now what? It begins to just take it into something that's negative. And I think this is what happens when it comes to the law. The law is what? It's holy, it's just, it's good. But when you apply it in the wrong way, it's what? All the law was to do was to basically condemn every one of us. The law doesn't reward us, it simply condemns us. And when the law condemns, it simply does this. It says, you have failed. That's all it does. It doesn't reward you. And now we see here that when he comes and he begins to scoff, he begins to mock, he begins to laugh in a very ridiculing way, the son of the promise. Verse 10, therefore, she, that is Sarah, said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely Isaac. I want you to understand a few things. Like what Paul does in Galatians 4, the Holy Spirit doesn't give Ishmael a name. All the Holy Spirit does is what? Give Ishmael's source. He's the son of the bondwoman. And so what Paul does is this. He uses the words of the Holy Spirit. He uses the understanding. And so the word came simply, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely Isaac. Do you understand? She recognizes one is the son of promise. He's the heir. He's the fulfillment. One is simply another son of a bondwoman, a descendant, but not that true spiritual son. And so we see here, so the matter, verse 11, was displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. And now he's talking about this son who's of the flesh. And then as he does so, God, verse 12, said to Abraham, do not let this be displeasing in your sight because of the lad. And so all of a sudden now we have God's view. He doesn't call him your son. Do you understand how God separates the son of the bondwoman now from Abraham? Abraham was displeased because of his son. God now calls him what? The lad. Do you understand? There's a difference. Now, in just the next chapter, we're going to see what? Now take Isaac, your son, your only son. You have to understand, the son of the bondwoman is not. Now he's simply the lad. He gets moved on. And so God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. So understand that she's not his wife now. Now she's simply the bondwoman. So God, through the Spirit, begins to speak of the source. Now the bondwoman is what? Slavery. It's slavery. The same thing as what? What is the law? Well, if you decide to keep any part of the law, you become what? A slave to the whole law. You become in bondage to the entirety of the law. And so it's so important to see that when you're adhering to the law to achieve righteousness, a righteousness acceptable before God, he says this, you become a slave to it. And as you become a slave to it, keep in mind that what's going to happen is this. When you become a slave to that, we see here in verse 12, God says to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad, because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac, and note this, your seed. This is amazing to see what God does. He calls Isaac his seed. As you look to that Isaac, his seed, remember what we'd already looked at there. And I'll just stay here in Genesis, but let me read to you one more time from Galatians 3, verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you understand how the seed, the son, the heirs are all entwined through what? Through the source of a promise. But when you have this next, you have now the son of a bondwoman, you don't have a promise, you have the carnality, you don't have an heir, and God even says so much so, you don't even have a son, you have a lad. You have a descendant. You understand the difference between the two, and what God is trying to show through Paul is, listen, if you want to look to Abraham, if you want to use Abraham as your proof text to what you want to go through this whole circumcision, keep in mind that what God does through Abraham is he shows who are sons and who are not. And as he goes through who are sons and who are not, he points out over and over again, the son who's an heir, who's a seed, is of faith. It's all about belief. And so that's what God had promised to Abraham back in chapter 12, the believing in descendants. That's what he promised him in chapter 15, believing in the descendants. That's what he promises 17, believing the descendants. That's what he gave him in chapter 21. And now we see that in chapter 22, it comes to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. And then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain as which I will tell you. And so we begin to see that here's that heart. And I want you to understand that as we look to this, we begin to see here the heart of God. And as God begins to lead, as God begins to guide, I think it's so important to see how God begins to show Abraham, there is a son and there is a lad. There is one that I'm here, there's one that I've called, and there's one that I have not. And so when we look at verse 7, and we see, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. In an incredible way, I love what the Lord does, because God had promised the child to Abraham. The child would, of course, be, again, have more children, more children, more children, so much so that Abraham would have children as much as the stars in the sky. But keep in mind that in our text of chapter 3, verse 7, it begins with the word therefore. It doesn't just talk about the sons now. It says, therefore. When you have that word, therefore, we've talked about this before, seems kind of silly, but you have to ask, why is it therefore? Something went before that. Something was spoken before. And the thing that was spoken before, of course, is you began in the Spirit, you continue in the Spirit, and then in verse 6, and all that was through faith. In verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God. And that belief was accounted to him for righteousness. And so he says, therefore, because Abraham believed, note this, know that only those who are of faith. Now, the interesting thing is this. If you are familiar with the Greek, the word believe and the word faith have the same root word. They're both the same. Faith, believe is always the same. But when we come to this area of faith, when we come to the area of belief, what we see is this, that God says, I'm going to show you through my Spirit how to be a child, how to be a son, how to be an heir. And that's going to be through faith. You're going to be of the seed of Abraham. Now, uniquely, what happens is this, that God is always going to fulfill the promise of the Spirit. The Spirit says, I'm going to give you grace. You're going to believe. You're not going to earn anything. And like chapter 2, verse 16, man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith. This is the son. This is the heir. Now, keep in mind that when we become sons, you have to understand this. There's going to be a battle with what? With others who are descendants. Because that's what happened. You remember now? Isaac is born, he's weaned, and initially there's this conflict. The conflict is from the descendant to the heir, from the one who is of the bloodline to the one who is of the Spirit. And when you have that, keep in mind, there's going to be a conflict. But you have to understand that when God initially, we see the conflict between Isaac and Ishmael, we've seen the conflict between the sons and their sources. Because what happens is this, when you have the two sons, you have the two sources, and as he begins to now mock and scoff Isaac, eventually what happens is this, God says, okay, you have to understand, I'm going to take you back to Genesis 21:12 for just a moment. God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing your sight because of the lad, because of your bondwoman, whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread, a skin of water, he put on the shoulder, he gave it to the boy. He gave it and the boy to Hagar. and sent her away. And she departed. Now, I want you to note something here in verse 14. What does God, through the Spirit, call Ishmael? What does he call the son of the bondwoman? He calls him the boy. Notice again in verse 14. Abraham rose early in the morning. He took bread and a skin of water, and he put it on her shoulder, and he gave it and the boy to Hagar. Verse 16 of Genesis 21. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance, about a bow shot, and she said to herself, "Let me not see the death of the boy." Verse 17, God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called out to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad." In verse 18, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." Verse 19, "Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and she filled the skin with water, and she gave the lad a drink, and so God was with the lad, and he grew." You understand how the Holy Spirit is going out of his way to let us know that this now one who came from the bondwoman is not a son. He's a lad, he's a boy, he's a whole lot of things, but nowhere except for Abraham was Abraham said, "This is my son." And God said, "Oh, no, 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 no." Because even Abraham said, "What? Let the promise come through Ishmael. I'm fine with that." God says, "No, no, you don't understand. He is not the promise." And God needed us to have this great understanding where Paul begins to illuminate this truth. And he says, "Listen, you have to understand that there are descendants and there are sons. Only those who are of faith are sons. There are no other. And so you have to have faith. Remember now in chapter 3, verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." This is what God wants. And so it's all about really coming to this understanding, where in the same way as that therefore is there in verse 7, as Abraham believed, that belief was accounted for righteousness. Therefore, in the same manner as, know that only those who are of faith, or only those who believe in the promise of God, are the sons of Abraham. I love what Paul does. He simply gives us this great understanding as, listen, you can have something in your flesh, but God is never going to call it the promise. You can do a work and you can find a source to say, "I'm going to take this source," but you're not an heir. Do you understand? There's only one heir. I don't care who you are. You can become an heir. You can become a seed of Abraham. You can become a son of Abraham. You can become a son of faith. No matter where you've been, where you're from, God wants to bring us all together as one. But it's through faith. It's through belief. And when we believe, that's accounted to us for righteousness. And of course, in 2:16, we're not justified by the works of the law, but by faith. And justification, we've talked about that before. It's a legal term. You are absolutely perfect before God. So I love this passage. I love what God is doing. So realize here the very truth that God wants us to understand. If we are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. And that seed is what he calls Isaac. The seed is what he calls the son of the promise. The seed is what he calls the heir. And it only comes through faith. So let us be those children. Let us become heirs. Let's recognize everything that God has for us. Because when God told Abraham to give up his son, he said, "Listen, stop now. You don't have to do it, but what's going to happen is this. There's going to be a time where God himself will become that sacrifice. I will put another son on the altar. I will sacrifice another son for mankind. And this one here, I will not hold my hand back." And so he takes him to this land of Moriah, to a mountain. And we understand that that mountain, according to tradition, is Golgotha. It's the same mountain that Jesus Christ was crucified on. And so to look at this and to see this, I think it's so important to understand why Paul is doing this. He's making great, great strides and trying to say, listen, I do want you to understand, as you legalists are looking at Abraham, you think he's the father of Israel, and yes, he is. You think that he's the father and the one through whom the covenant of circumcision was instituted, and yes, he is. But that wasn't his righteousness. That wasn't what made him right with God. The only thing that did that was belief, the same belief of what? The son of the promise. And so keep in mind that it's just so important. It was Paul gives him this biblical and scriptural understanding of what sons are. And he's eventually going to do it a little bit deeper as we get into Galatians 4. But it's so important to recognize this, the source. What is your source of coming to God? Do you come through works? Do you come through effort? Do you come through your own ingenuity? Or do you simply come through faith? When you recognize, I'm dead and I can do nothing. Do you understand? That's where Abraham was. He was dead. He could do nothing. And yet what God? God's taken us who were dead and he's made us alive again. Through what? Through faith, through belief in Jesus Christ. So this is the heart. This is the son. May we all be sons. May we recognize the source that we come through is through faith and faith alone. Amen. Well, Father, we're so grateful for this passage. You are so, so good. And that you would give Paul just this understanding of the events of the life of Abraham to show proof positive, to show beyond a shadow of a doubt that you desire us, the only source that we could come into a right relationship. That source is by faith, and that alone, to receive the promise by faith, and that all of the blessings are now ours. We become heirs of the kingdom, joint heirs with Christ. And so continue to just knit our hearts to these truths. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.